This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Wednesday, July 15th edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Goldman Sachs sees its biggest earnings outperformance in nearly a decade, and how to get out of credit card debt. Also, on Personal Finance Wednesday, financial lessons learned during the pandemic. Right now, the first COVID-19 vaccine tested in the U.S. is headed to a final trial. We are joined by Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News, based out of Minneapolis. Michelle, why is this particular vaccine getting so much attention?
Well, this is the first real data set that we've seen, and it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is one of the most widely respected, highly respected medical journals in the world. So researchers, the public, everyone can actually look at what the study showed, and it basically showed very positive results early. This is first-in-man data, the very initial use of it, but they didn't see anything problematic that would have derailed the development, and they did show production of neutralizing antibodies that suggest it might actually help keep coronavirus in check.
Does this company have the capability to mass produce the vaccine, or will it need to partner up, and has it ever brought a vaccine to market?
So Moderna's technology is brand new. There are no vaccines that are currently approved and being used that use this approach. That being said, there is a lot of excitement biologically around how it works. It makes a lot of sense the way that they're doing it. And not only that, it's something that can be tweaked easily should the virus mutate or should something else come up that they need to adjust to. But your question is right on point. They don't make any vaccines, so they don't have great manufacturing facilities. So that is a critical question. And what is happening already is the U.S. government has stepped in and other people have stepped in, and they are already starting manufacturing this vaccine, even though a reminder that just yesterday we got the first results from the first in man trials, and the final trial of the drug or the vaccine is not supposed to start for another 2 weeks. And yet they're producing it now, so that if it does work, we will have vaccine.
You know, we've talked about Novavax and AstraZeneca. Is anyone even close to being in a late stage trial like this?
Well, this is the area where many of the front runners are now starting their phase three, the final trial that is done to get any of these vaccines onto the market. And in fact, we did get news just today that the Oxford University trial that they're working on with AstraZeneca is also supposed to be starting shortly, and they're expecting their initial data set to be coming out any minute now. The news is coming out of Europe, out of London, that those results are also positive, but that's other reporters are reporting that. We haven't been able to confirm it ourselves yet, but we are expecting that second set of data anytime now. So we are starting to get a little bit more volume to this good news around vaccines.
Thanks, Michelle. Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks for the latest on the Moderna vaccine trial.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Kuiper, and in for Cisco Cotto, these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Mayor Lightfoot warns of possible reopening pullbacks if coronavirus numbers rise too much. A potential vaccine for the disease is headed to a larger trial. In Personal Finance Wednesday, valuable lessons that can be learned from the COVID crisis. And it's back to school time for retailers, but the landscape this year is unexplored territory. Business, the Dow is up 196. Points. The NASDAQ is up 27. The S&P 500 is up 24. And oil is up almost 2%. WBBM News Time 12:31. Mayor Lightfoot is urging Chicagoans to wear face coverings at all times outside, practice social distancing, and wash their hands regularly. She says an increase of COVID cases could lead to a return of restrictions. Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwady warns that young people are not immune to the virus.
We have seen hospitalizations and we have seen deaths, even in these younger age groups. But also, people in these age groups spread COVID just as easily as someone who is older.
People from the ages of 18 to 29 currently make up the greatest percentage of new infections. And results are in for the first coronavirus vaccine tested in the U.S.
The vaccine that's showing promise in fighting COVID-19 now faces its most important step, whether it's actually strong enough to protect people from the coronavirus. A 30,000-person study is due to begin in about 2 weeks. Vanderbilt University's William Schaffner says he's optimistic there will be answers by early next year about whether the vaccine's really safe and effective.
And it would be wonderful, but that assumes everything's working right on schedule.
It's among nearly two dozen possible COVID-19 vaccines in various stages of testing around the world.
I think we're in a pretty good place when it comes to vaccines.
At a Georgetown University event, Dr. Anthony Fauci warned there's never a guarantee when it comes to vaccines, but he's cheering on every one of them. Sagar Magani, Washington.
If you're among the many still working remotely, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. WBBM News Time 12:33. Markets are moving a little higher at this hour. We're joined by Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist, Inverness Council out of New York. And Tim, earlier we had the Dow up about 300 points. Then around 10:45 Central Time, it fell to closer to what we're seeing now, which is in the 100s. Right now it's up 197 points. What was it that caused that?
Oh, gosh, Jennifer, short-term moves like that are really impossible. But, you know, there's a lot of news going on out there, a lot of good news recently. And, of course, we're in the middle of earnings season, and that always causes a lot of churn. And we're seeing that intraday today. The big move today, or the big observation, is that value is outperforming growth significantly. And you see that with the Dow up and the NASDAQ up, but a lot less. And we've seen this battle between growth and value play out here every once in a while over the past couple of months.
Goldman Sachs, you mentioned banking. Goldman Sachs, wow, a good day for them. A good quarter for them, I should say. What has helped them?
Oh, it sure was. You know, this was a big earnings beat for them. They reported earnings and, you know, that it came from a lot of trading, very strong trading results. And of course, with all the volatility in the financial markets, that creates a lot of trading. So these big brokerages do well in that environment. Also, investment banking, very strong. I think it was a record quarter for their investment banking work. And that's saying something because the bankers aren't in the offices. They're working remotely, and yet they're getting deals done and advising companies on possible new deals and financing. Goldman had a great quarter on the back of those two parts of its business.
And we had some good news on industrial production. Any particular sector that saw the strongest comeback?
Didn't get into the weeds there, but it's good to see that some industrial production numbers are improving. I don't think you can suggest that that's going to be a trend here. I think we're going to see volatility really month by month in a lot of the economic data. We've been seeing that, you know, all along here. Obviously, we've seen a pickup in the economy. Things have certainly gotten better. But some of the reopenings have not gone so well, and there are going to be some pullbacks there, and we expect some of the economic data to show that weakness in coming months.
Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist, Inverness Council out of New York, thanks for joining us. And up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, things that can be learned from the challenges of the pandemic.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. This afternoon, we're examining tough money situations caused by the coronavirus outbreak and what can be learned from them. We welcome Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. And Mark, what should be the biggest lesson that we've learned from COVID?
Probably the biggest lesson, Jennifer, is going to be the power of a financial plan. There was a recent study by Schwab that showed people with a written financial plan were more than twice as comfortable going through the last 6 months than those without a written financial plan. And so taking the time now to go through that process of financial planning, which has got many elements to it, but taking the time to put together a written financial plan, I'd say, is the most important takeaway from what we're going through right now.
And what about your job? We have had a lot of people who've lost jobs. If you're afraid of losing your job, what is it that you should do to start to prepare just in case?
Yeah, so I mean, again, I think that does come back to a financial plan, and so a job loss is typically going to require tapping into some savings, and so an element of a proper financial plan is going to have a source of emergency savings. Now, for those that are either furloughed or have lost their jobs, creating an emergency savings account right now, if you don't already have one, that I don't think is a very practical idea. But what you can do is look at some of the spending that maybe you've cut back on through the COVID times, and really ask yourself honestly: do I need to get back to that spending level that I was at pre-COVID? I think for all of us, myself included, there are ways to cut from the budget, and sticking to those budget cuts will just make a financial plan and the ability to create an emergency savings plan when you get rehired that much more likely or possible.
Mark, is there a magic number as far as reducing spending, or at least something that we should aim for?
There isn't. I suppose fundamentally in financial planning, the magic number is you spend less than you make, and so that's going to be different. That's going to be different for all of us. And I do have to say, on July 15th here, it's tax day. The biggest expense that any of us have is going to be taxes. And so after you get through today, it'd be a great idea to look at the role of a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k in your financial plan. That's a planning element that could protect part of your portfolio from income taxes, which again is going to be anybody's largest expense during the course of the year.
So when clients come to you, what is their first question to you about, especially after having gone through this this whole pandemic?
You know, frequently the first statement that new clients will make is they'll apologize, and they will say that we should have done this sooner, which we quickly dismiss that as there are no apologies. That people are taking action is the important thing to focus on. And then right after that, a very frequent finding of ours when we go through the financial planning process is that people are taking more risk than they need to hit their goals. So frequently we'll talk with new clients about the idea that you identify the risks that you have to take in order to hit your goals and avoid the risks that you don't need to take. And so quite often we're helping people dial down the risks that they've got in their portfolios that largely they were unaware of.
That's Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management out of Wheaton. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, how retail is preparing for an unprecedented back-to-school season.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's back-to-school season for retail, but this is a year unlike any other. We are joined by Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO, J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide out of New York. And Jan, as we said, it's a year like any other. We say back-to-school, but maybe not. We have these hybrid things going on. I mean, tell us a little bit about what you think is going to happen this year.
Well, you know, if you believe what the NRF is saying, they're telling us that school spending, not back-to-school spending, but is going to be up dramatically from almost $700 per family last year to about almost $800 per family this year. So I refuse to see silver linings in COVID, but this COVID cloud looks like it's really going to drive back to school spending, even if it's back to not school spending. And it's going to be driven really by equipment for your house so your kid can still get an education. It's computers, it's routers, it's desks, it's all of the things that you need for a child to be able to do remote learning. And that's going to be both collegiate spending as well as high school and primary school spending. So it looks like it'll be a very, very big year, and it'll be driven by electronics.
So it sounds like places like Best Buy could see some boosts in sales, or maybe an Office Depot, something like that. What do you think?
I think certainly those two will benefit, but I think you'll see a lot of business also coming out of things like Walmart and Target, where you can get all of the desks and other supplies you want for a house or a kid going back to school. And then, yes, you will certainly see things like Best Buy and Apple and things like that, where you're going to get that computer bought, do really well. And they also sell the routers and cables. So, yes, you'll see all those businesses really benefit. The same people that usually benefit, just more so.
Jan, this is such a different time. I mean, what goes into the thinking here for, you know, someone who has to shop and for the retailer who has to provide this this merchandise to the customers? I mean, are the retailers using some creativity here and displaying things differently than they would in years past, something like that?
Mostly they're saying, we'll hand it to you at the curb or we'll send it to your house. You don't have to come in the store. And that's really driving a lot of business. That's true of your Walmart, Target, or Best Buy, for instance. And then what else is being driven? Just straight online spending, ship it to my house. So Amazon will benefit, Apple will benefit. So it's going to be a year where the spending is not in the store for back to school. It may be driving up to the store. It may be throw it in my trunk. It may be send it to my house. But it's not going to really be driven by in-store spending like it is most years.
That's Jan Rogers-Niffen, CEO, J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide. Thanks for joining us today. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.